Today's gospel is from John chapter 7, beginning with verse 37. It's on page 868 in your pew Bible. Jesus says, on the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't Jesus awesome? I mean, we think about he's good, he's wise, he's strong, he's loving, and we could just go on and on and on and on of the attributes of Jesus. He is awesome. And today is the feast day of Pentecost. We celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church, basically the birthday of the church. It's said in Scripture that he said himself that first Jesus had to ascend into heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to come upon the people. And you heard of that event in Acts chapter 2. It was read by Jeff as the Holy Spirit descended upon those people and they were given languages so that everyone from all these different parts of the world could hear the glories of God proclaimed in their own native tongue. And that was quite a movement. It launched basically the church, and that very day, 3,000 people were baptized and showed their faith in Christ. Let's see if I can get this. So I want to talk about, first of all, why were they together in Jerusalem? What was the meaning of Pentecost? And I think for Christians, we always think of it's the day the Holy Spirit came. But what was the festival of Pentecost all about? Well, it was about a few things. First, it was called the Festival of Weeks, also Pentecost, which is a festival of the harvest. It happened in the spring. Now we go, spring harvest? Well, they were in a climate, kind of warm climate like Arizona, where they planted in the fall and harvested in the spring. And so the spring was the harvest, and it was the harvest of the first fruits to show joy and thankfulness for the Lord's blessing of harvest. So that is what Pentecost was. It was a joyful time. The first fruits of the first wheat were brought to the altar to give thanks to God. But Jesus redefined not by Jesus, but by the Holy Spirit coming, and redefined in this way: turning hearts to Christ is God's harvest celebration. That is what Pentecost becomes, is turning hearts to God. And that's what we celebrate today as the Holy Spirit coming upon the church. The Holy Spirit has impeccable timing. Impeccable, perfect timing. As does Jesus. Jesus was at another festival that I read from John chapter 7 when he said these words. But first I want to talk about this. This is what Jesus said before this happened in Acts 1:8, before he ascended into heaven. Let's read it together. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus foretold that this was going to happen. It was 12 days after he ascended into heaven that Pentecost came. And so they were anticipating this. Jesus also spoke about this day in the reference that I gave to John chapter 7, when he said that believers, out of the believer's heart will flow rivers of living water. And he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for there was as yet no Spirit, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is speaking also at a festival. Isn't it wonderful that Jews like to have parties? They have festivals every so often. And I think that's what tomorrow is, in remembering those who have died, but having a day of rejoicing, a day to spend when we're not working, when we can rejoice. And the festival that Jesus was speaking at when he said these words was the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, the Tabernacle Festival was reminding the Israelites that they were once captives. They were slaves, and they were led through the wilderness. And during those 40 years, they stayed in temporary shelters called tents. The tabernacle was the place where they were to erect for worship, as well as where they the things they slept in. So this was a harvest festival in the autumn, and this was when they would pray for rain for the winter crops. Now, I'd like you just to kind of, in your mind's eye, imagine this festival. I know some of you have been to Jerusalem, but it's not the way it was when Jesus was there. But if you could imagine in your mind's eye what happened at this Festival of Tabernacles, it says there on the last day of the festival, the great day, Jesus was staying there. So what happened up to that day? This festival lasts for 7 days. And on each of those days, there's a solemn procession that takes place as the priests go to a pool. And there they would draw out water with a symbolic silver pitcher. And then they would carry the water, and as they proceeded back through the water gate up to the temple, they would sing Isaiah 12:3, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." I don't know what song they sang, but it was something like that. But it went over and over and over again, "With joy you'll draw water from the wells of salvation." And they would walk up to the water gate, and there was this altar. And on the altar, and they would also actually weave branches of myrtle and willow, and they would wave those around, remembering the time that they were in the tabernacles, and those were what the tents were made out of. And then they would walk around the altar one time, waving their branches and singing the psalm, "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success." And then the priest would take the water from the pitcher and pour it onto the altar. That was day one. Same thing day two, same thing day three, same thing day four. Day seven is when the greatest day was, and everything is the same except they march around seven times before they pour the water. That would be a moment, that would be kind of a pregnant moment that people would be looking, wondering, will there be rain? Is God going to hear our prayers? And that's where Jesus stands up and says, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures said," he says, "let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scriptures said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Jesus, at that moment, with his impeccable timing, changed the meaning of that festival, changed it to be about believing in him, not praying for rain, which is fine, important, but instead, He fulfills the prophecy, which was also part of Tabernacles, right there in their hearing. They were anticipating a time when Zechariah predicted that living waters would flow from Jerusalem. They were remembering from Ezekiel that the river, they would see a river flow from a rock underneath the temple. That's what Ezekiel prophesied. And Moses, in the desert, satisfied the people's thirst by striking the rock, and water would flow out of the rock. Jesus is saying, now those who thirst need only to come to Jesus and only believe the water of life will be theirs. As manna was given in the desert to their ancestors, and real bread from heaven was given, and water came from a rock, Jesus was saying, now the true water of life comes through believing in me. See what I mean by impeccable timing? That right at that pregnant moment, Jesus transformed what Tabernacles was all about, and that was preceding what was going to happen at Pentecost. It brings us right back to this Holy Spirit being given. And not only was the Holy Spirit given way back in Jerusalem and Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit continually is given, and that's why we celebrate today. The Holy Spirit has impeccable timing. And it's awesome how the Holy Spirit works in us to help us believe, of course, but also to create. So that was that's a place that I want to go today in our in my sermon, is to talk about creative work that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit worked through a man named Robin Mark. He wrote the song, The Days of Elijah, as I think the Holy Spirit also works through countless Christian artists and people to share, explain something. Now, this song became endeared to me for a couple reasons. One was, I saw a video of Marines. And if you search YouTube and say, Days of Elijah Marines, you will find this group of Marines in a room much larger than this. They all have their desert camo on, and they are singing the Days of Elijah. They are arm in arm singing, these are the days of... And the best part is when it goes to, behold, he comes, whoop, whoop! That's what they do. That just endeared me to that song because I thought, what a wonderful, unifying, joyful song this is that Marines on the forefront of going into battle would be encouraged and uplifted by their faith through singing this song. It gladdened my heart to see that. I think it gladdens the heart of God as well. And then another time that that song was endeared to me was on a Sunday of Advent. It might have been the first Sunday of Advent in my first congregation. And we sang that song because it talks about, behold, he comes riding on a cloud. And we anticipate the second coming of Jesus in Advent. I didn't know it, but one of our members had brought a friend, a guest. And he was sitting about where Marilyn is sitting in the sanctuary. It's kind of a similar sanctuary like this with four sections. And as we sang that song, he was enlightened. He was just excited. He sang it with so much gusto. And he basically carried the whole song because he was so loud in singing. And I didn't know him or know anything about him. But come to find out later, he's a Messianic Jew. And because of the symbolism that happens in that song, it was so bringing faith, bringing hope, bringing the prophecies, bringing everything together is what that song did for him. So I want to use that song as a springboard to talk about why we celebrate the Holy Spirit today and what that song is telling us, because God's Spirit's timing is impeccable. But also just to explain how this song was written. Robin Mark, he writes about this on his website. He explains the meaning of the song, and it was inspired by the Spirit. It's a song about hope, basically. And it explores the themes of how the theology of the Old Testament is still active and working to bring Christ into the present day reality. He wrote it in 1994, and it was in the midst of the Rwandan Civil War, which was an incredible tragedy where over a million people were killed in that tragedy. And as he watched the year end in review, he was actually very depressed because he wondered, God, where are you? How could all this happen? Where's the hope? Where's the gospel? Where's Jesus? He says this, I felt in my spirit that he replied to my prayer by saying that indeed he was very much in control and that the days we were living were in special times when he required Christians to be filled with integrity and to stand up for him just like Elijah did, particularly with the prophets of Baal. These are the days of Elijah. And Mark uses in his song Old Testament characters that give hope to us, saying, as surely as God worked in the past, he's certainly working today in the present. So he used, if you recall, as you just heard, Elijah's story, part of it at Mount Carmel when he was confronting the prophets of Baal, and he had them build an altar and not only put the sacrifice there, but they had them pour water on it three times. And these were not just little pitchers of water. These were jugs of water poured all over that altar. And then God showed up with power and showed that he was God and Lord, and people believed. But right after that, Elijah was afraid, and he ran off, and he hid by a stream, and he asked the Lord to take his life away. And I think that, too, is part of the days of Elijah, to witness for Christ, but we feel as Christians kind of alone sometimes, kind of persecuted, isolated, and discouraged. So he wrote the song, and I'm just going to play it and ask you guys to, oh, this he wrote in 94, the Marines, okay, God forgot that. Let's join me. You know the song. I'm going to pick it apart a little bit today, but if you know it, sing it. See if this works. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. Okay, I'm going to stop there. So that's what we just talked about. Elijah is declaring the word of the Lord. And it's the time when we see that God wants to declare his word again. That's what he means when he wrote this song. And then he wrote, can you help me, Amanda, by flipping in the next one? Thanks a lot. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. What's that about? Well, Moses was called to bring something to his people. He was returning them to faith in God. And that was this idea of righteousness being restored. That meant not just believing, but living rightly, of showing our faith through what we do. And that's like walking your talk. That's what people are going to be noticing. They're not going to notice our words. They're going to notice how we live it. And so that was what this is about Moses. And next one. Though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. It's reflected for the time when Robin Mark lives, when he says, days of great trials and famines and darkness and sword. If we think about 2023, I don't think much has changed, do you? We're still in trials, darkness, famine, all parts of the world, disasters, wars. And so that's a song to cry out, God, where are you? But then the proclamation. Behold, he says that Christ will return at the trumpet sound. It's a year of Jubilee when all debts are fully paid and joy will permeate the land. The second verse is the call to unity of the body. And he goes this way. And these are the days of Ezekiel. Next slide, sorry. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. You probably know that story. Ezekiel was given this vision of going over this great plain, and there was covered with bones. And the vision was God saying to Ezekiel, will these bones live? And Ezekiel replies, Lord, if you want them to, they will. I don't know the answer, but whatever you want is going to happen. And so that is a really great image, too, as you think about today being the days of Elijah, that Ezekiel's dry bones, will they live? Will faith come? Will resurrection happen? And that is, it's a prophetic vision of this valley of dry bones, but it really shows also a united church rising up for unity and purpose. That's what that vision is to explain. And then he sings, and these are the days of your servant David rebuilding a temple of praise. Now, if you recall, David didn't build the temple, did he? He was promised that through him, one of his offspring, his son, would build the temple, which is Solomon. But David didn't build the temple. So this is referring to the great day when things are restored and he's rebuilding a temple of praise. He's making God's purpose, his word, his love shine through this kind of a restoration theology, which is restoring the attributes of the true church here in our midst. Now, David was used by God to introduce a revised form of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. That's what the Psalms are all about. And firstly, his little tent, which he pitched around the Ark of the Covenant in the presence of God, and then the temple that Solomon built. That was rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are wide in the world, and we are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. The days of the harvest. Jesus referred to those, didn't he? He said, the fields are white for harvest, meaning get ready. God is doing an amazing thing. He wants to send out workers into his harvest field. That's what Pentecost is. We're all given the Holy Spirit so we can be a witness to the world, to our people that we know, that are neighbors and friends, to declare his word. That is the work. So these verses, these themes in the verses are a declaration, they're a righteousness, they're calling for unity, they're calling for worship. And he chose to express those in the song in a very creative way. And then the chorus is the exclamation point to it. Let's sing it together. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Thanks, Chris. A little bit of tambourine with that. So the days of Elijah. This is the cool part about this is how he wrote the song. He had all these things swimming around in his mind. He went to church that Sunday, and his pastor preached on Ezekiel's dry bones and the unity, the restoration of the church. Between services, he went into the church basement, into the kitchen, and he wrote basically the song in 30 minutes. And then he came back, and he shared the song at the second service. And they loved it. And he thought, well, this is a great song. You know, cool. We just did something for today. No idea how it would catch on. It became sung all over the world in many languages. And then he also learned later, as I did with the Jewish man who was at church services, that for Messianic Jews, this was an amazing culmination of bringing together the imagery that they saw as predicting the Messiah coming and bringing it together in a song in such a marvelous way that it proclaimed Christ's coming again. So, lost my place here. These are examples. This is an example of the Holy Spirit being given. It's a given to this creative musician, and Lynn, if you could come up now, given this creative musician about ways that that God would work and be explained through a song. And I wanted to share now. Actually, I'm going to have Lynn share a little bit about, because the Holy Spirit has impeccable timing. We've been working on, or we have created this logo. And Lynn was really instrumental in helping create the logo and is going to explain it and how it came about. So, Lynn.
So, Pastor Jeff asked me to share the backstory of how our logo was created. It's only this week that I realized that it was the Holy Spirit's work. So, I want to share with you how that came to be. About 3 years ago, it was decided that we need a new logo, and we need it to be fresh, and we need it to be modern, and we need it to be simple, and we need it to be immediately recognizable as belonging to our church. And I was tasked with that job. And it was suggested, you know what we need on our logo? We need the mountains in the background, and we need, of course, the word Shepherd of the Hills, and we also want a cross. And how about the outside of our building? And also, you know, maybe we could get the fountain in there. And, oh, probably we should put the staff in, like the shepherd's staff, so that we can tie it into our old logo. Okay. Great. Yeah, I can do that. And so I started working and had a team of designers actually doing some work too. And I thought, you know, the trend now with corporate logos is they're very simple and they're very easy to on the eye and they're very recognizable, but they're very simple. And you want the mountains in the background and the cross and the staff, and you want the fountain, and you want the word Shepherd of the Hills, which is long enough as it is. And so I created this design and that design and this design, and the team I was working with created this one and this one and that one, and none of them did I like. I was like, they're kind of soulless, they're kind of meaningless, they're kind of corporate. That's not what we're all about. And I presented some of those to staff and to Jeff, and they were like, no, we don't like that. And so they said, how about we have a meeting next week and you come back to us with some new ideas? And I said, sure, I can do that. And so the meeting was on a Tuesday. Monday night at 9 p.m., I sat down and said, what am I going to do? I was tired. I was frustrated. I was irritated that all these ideas were coming at me and none of them were coming together to gel. And so I just sat down at the computer at 9 p.m. and said, okay, they want four peaks. They want four peaks in there. Well, we can't have all that detail in there because that's just too much. So I took a Sharpie and outlined four peaks. I said, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Let's put Shepherd on top of that and turn the D into a cross. And where can we put Of the Hills? Oh, it probably will fit right under there so that the whole logo is not too long. And that took about till 4 a.m. in the morning. And because you go back and forth, and you line it up, and the colors and the fonts and all of that. And so I went to bed at 4 o'clock, and I said, okay, they're going to have to deal with that. Got up in the morning and took the logo design to the meeting, and we started looking at it, and they said, well, you know those mountains in the background? Yeah, that is four peaks, isn't it? And look, the four peaks represent the ups and downs of our lives, and the ups and downs of our church life, and the ups and downs of our life here in Fountain Hills community. And look, that the mountains, they all end at the foot of the cross. And that cross, you know, that cross that looks a whole lot like the cross that we have out on our building here and out next to the education building, that's really a good representation of our facilities and our standing in the community. I was like, oh, yeah. I had no intention of any of that. And then was like, of the hills, of the hills. So of the hills is us. We are the people of the hills. And where are we? We are tucked right underneath the shepherd. And the shepherd is covering all of the ups and downs of our lives and our church and our community. And last but not least, the font is very strong and it's very bold. And that's because we stand boldly for Christ. I had no intention of any of those things at 4 a.m. when I created this logo. And it was only this past week when I shared that little backstory with staff that I realized, oh, that was the Holy Spirit working in me. I thought I was just frustrated and irritated, but that was the Holy Spirit working in me. And so I hope you find inspiration and joy in this logo for the season that we have it, and that it gives you meaning and that it's hopeful for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. The Holy Spirit's timing is impeccable. You know, whether it be at 4 in the morning or as Jesus stood up at the temple and proclaimed the good news, or as you have the opportunity to speak to another about Christ in your life and you pray for that moment when you could help it be understood. And sometimes it doesn't come, but we keep praying. But the Holy Spirit's timing is impeccable. We celebrate him today, and that he lives not only in us, but he works through us so that we can share the good news with others. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your creative Holy Spirit, as we've seen today through working through a songwriter, working through an artist. working through our creativity to proclaim and declare your goodness, your righteousness, your faithfulness. Lord Jesus, come to us today, Holy Spirit. Help us to invite you into our lives to help us believe and help us receive. Receive all that you want for us, the gifts that you've unfolded for us to help us live out our calling and our purpose. And thank you that you are intricately involved in our lives and that your timing is impeccable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.